Paul Ramel here for Q92 Radio. We have some special guests in the studio with us right now. All from Montevideo, or Marcy's not from Montevideo, from Madison. Marcy Schmiesing, Dr. Patrick Hanna from Chippewa County Montevideo Hospital, and Shelly Elkington.
Yes.
I messed that up last time, didn't I, Shelly?
You got it.
I got it right now. All right, great. Thanks for coming in. We're going to visit a little bit about the opioid crisis that is going on. You hear it in the news all the time. Especially during the legislative session in Minnesota here, and it's been in the news, and it's in our area, and we're here to talk about that, right? And Marcy, I'll let you start it off here. Thanks for coming over, and first of all, maybe tell our listeners a little bit about, let's back up here, what is opioid?
Well, opioid is a drug that we use to treat in clinics with oftentimes. Opioid is also naturally grown and from the poppy plant, and morphine and codeine are two substances that are natural opioids that we find. But there are synthetic opioids, and those are man-made, and those are drugs that you oftentimes hear about, like Vicodin and oxycodone and morphine. You know, there are some of those that are synthetic. Fentanyl, those are all opioids.
Okay. Also, Marcy, why don't you tell our listeners what your title is over there at Chippewa County Montevideo Hospital? And
I'm a nurse practitioner over in Montevideo. Okay. I've been there for 6 years now, and I'm a member of the team.
Okay. And Shelly, how about you?
Hi.
Hi.
I'm a nurse in Montevideo. I own a home care PCA agency over there, and I've been working with the Chippewa County Montevideo Hospital and the clinic as they've developed their safe opioid prescribing team for the last couple of years.
Okay. And Dr. Patrick Hanna?
I'm a medical doctor, and I've been practicing in Montevideo since 2001. And so Marcy and I have been working together for the past several years.
Okay. I attended a meeting over in Montevideo, and Senator Klobuchar was there. And you all were present. And just talk about that meeting. Why was it held? And just talk about that a little bit.
Great. Yeah. I invited Senator Klobuchar to Montevideo after some really hard work was done by the clinic staff and these folks here on getting a grant through the state of Minnesota to develop the safe opioid prescribing team, particularly for the physicians and the nurse practitioners to start prescribing Suboxone. So when that grant was awarded, we thought it was a good idea to celebrate that, let the community know, and Senator Klobuchar was good enough to come out and help us do that.
Yeah. Marcy, I sat there with my mouth hanging open. Like I said, I had no idea the opioid crisis was so prevalent around our Q92 listening area, right here in our backyard.
Yes, it is. It's in all small communities, and a lot of times we think that we're kind of sheltered out here in rural Minnesota, mm-hmm. but actually this epidemic knows no boundaries, and so we're seeing it here just like it is in the Twin Cities area and other metro areas as well.
Mm-hmm. Dr. Patrick Hanna, tell us a little bit about what you see in the area here as far as addictions and stuff.
I agree. Of course, what Marcy and I have experienced is physicians and practitioners. We were taught in our careers to treat pain and treat it somewhat liberally, as the pharmaceutical companies would come out and tell us that pain is the fifth vital sign, and you should treat individuals who have chronic back pain and be very liberal with medications like OxyContin. When I was a resident in the late 1990s and finishing residency in 2001, I clearly remember the OxyContin pharmaceutical representative coming out and, you know, promoting OxyContin and, you know, saying that it was not an addicting medication, that you could give that out and that patients would not have long-term sequelae from that medication, and you could titrate the dose, you could increase that dose. And so, you know, we as physicians, you know, we bear, you know, part of the responsibility for what has occurred here, but the pharmaceutical companies, you know, also, you know, are involved in this. And so we really need to take a step back now and address what's gone on and tackle this problem head on. And it is prevalent within our community. It's prescription opiates. It's opiates that are being obtained illegally, and then it's also medications like heroin that are being bought and sold on the streets. Mm-hmm. So it's multifaceted.
Right. Shelly, why don't you tell us your story about how you got involved in this?
Sure. I was like you one day. I had no idea that this epidemic was really existing out here in Montevideo and Madison and rural Minnesota. My daughter, Casey Jo, was diagnosed with Crohn's disease in 2008 and ended up having surgery for that in 2012. And right around that time was being prescribed opioids. And for a lot of the same reasons Dr. Hannah talked about, she was liberally prescribed these medications because she was in a lot of pain, mm-hmm. legitimate pain. Through the course of a couple of years, she became extremely addicted.
Okay.
And by the time that happened, we were really unsure what to do. We really didn't know about any resources. She was afraid to go to her physician because she was afraid that he would stop prescribing them altogether. Mm. So we found ourselves in the middle of a health crisis, but not being able to turn to our healthcare provider timely enough.
Nobody to turn to, in a way.
Right. Yeah. So, our story ends a bit tragically. She died in August of 2015. She was 26 years old as the result of her addiction.
Mm. Yeah, sad. How did she want to go off the pain pills? Or?
She really did okay. want to get off. It took a long time to convince her she was addicted. The only medication she took was what was prescribed to her.
Mm-hmm.
So it was hard for her to rationalize that somehow being an addict was something she was. She saw people in addiction and treatment centers as someone who was taking illegal drugs. So it took me a long time to talk to her about that it was possible to be addicted to prescription medications that were given to her. But by the time we finally did, she really was tiring of the lifestyle. It was very hard. She had been diverting medications and was just really struggling. So mm-hmm. she was ready to get off those medications. We did find a place for her to go in Minneapolis. She was due to arrive at that facility on August 20th of 2015. She died one day before.
Oh, wow. Wow. And you've been on a crusade since then. Tell us a little bit about that. I know you spent a lot of time down in St. Paul.
I have. I just learned about it through that process that my eyes got open like yours, that this wasn't just Casey dealing with this. This is a lot of people. So I ended up networking with some advocacy groups, the Steve Rumler Hope Network being one of them. Found my way into some political advocating as well, and have worked a lot with local state representatives to create some law changes, including the law that helped create the grant that the hospital has.
Mm-hmm.
And then on a national level, I've worked with some folks too, including Senator Klobuchar and Senator Smith.
Right. Marcy, why don't you tell us your story too, as a nurse. I found your story amazing too.
Well, I've been a nurse for 36 years and in this profession as an RN for many years prior to becoming a nurse practitioner. And so I've seen the same thing that Dr. Hannah talked about in the 90s, where we were introduced to that fifth vital sign, and it was so important to treat our patients' pain. And, you know, as a nurse, we don't want to see our patients suffer. That's the last thing we want to see. So we want to help, but we also realize what's happened over time with the narcotics and the addiction, and how that's just completely taken over people's lives and ruined people's lives. Mm-hmm. And personally, I had my own little situation in 2011. I was in a car accident, and I had a traumatic brain injury and broke a lot of the bones in my face. And I was in the hospital for about 10 days and went through brain surgery. And after that, I was given narcotics, and I was given oxycodone to take. Legitimately. And so while I was in the hospital, the nurses were issuing it to me, and it was doing what it was supposed to and helping me to recover. And then when I got discharged from the hospital, I was sent home with a large supply of that medication, and my husband was told, you know, give her 1 to 2 tablets every 4 to 6 hours for her pain and keep her comfortable. And that's exactly what he did. And I was on that medicine at home for about 10 days after I got out of the hospital, and all I did was want to sleep. And I didn't want to eat. I just wanted to sleep because I was hurting. And when I would come out of the fog from that medication, I would feel like something's wrong here. I don't like this. And so I decided on my own that it had to be this medicine I was taking, and I was going to just quit. So I stopped abruptly, and I went into full-blown withdrawal. At that time, I was vomiting, I had fever, I was shaking. It was the whole withdrawal symptoms that I experienced. And so then I went back on the medicine, and then I slowly weaned myself off. And you know, having been a nurse, I had that knowledge kind of how to do it, but that's not the usual case for people. So when we talk about patients that get put on medication for legitimate reasons and then the addiction starts after that, I can't say that I was only on that medicine for 21 days, and I went through the physical addiction part, but I was on pretty high doses of it. So I can sympathize with people
and relate,
relate a little bit to what they're...
Yeah. Doctor, it's in the news all the time. People are being educated about this now. What's different today?
Well, there's a lot more emphasis in terms of what's going on. And when you hear the statistics, they're staggering. You know, we're hearing about the number of deaths from opioid overdoses is exceeding the number of deaths from car accidents. And we really need to pay attention to what's going on. And these are things that can be prevented. So we want to try to fix what's going on around us. That's where I think Suboxone in our community can be life-saving. So Marcy and I have begun to prescribe this medication to treat opioid use disorder. We want to try to destigmatize those that are struggling with their drug problem and help them. So if there are those that are struggling, we want them to come in. We want them to get into contact with us. We want to try and help them. So that's it, plain and simple. We want them to know that there's help available.
Right.
So this medication helps to treat the cravings, helps to treat the addiction.
Yep.
And, you know, if it weren't for Shelley, I don't think I'd be prescribing this medication. And if it wasn't for our mentors in Little Falls, I wouldn't be prescribing this medication.
Right.
But
yeah, so that's what's changed.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Once again, we're talking with Dr. Patrick Hanna and Marcy Schmiesing of the Chippewa County Montevideo Hospital, and Shelley Elkington. They're over here talking about the opioid crisis here in our area. And Shelley, talk a little bit about what's going on now, like Dr. Hanna said, that, you know, it's different. A lot of education going on here, isn't there?
Yeah, a lot, and a lot of awareness. He talked about the stigma, and I don't think there's anything more important to talk about than that. A lot of people ask me, you know, how come Casey died? And she didn't die necessarily as a result of the drug addiction as she did of the stigma around drug addiction. She was afraid to ask for help. She was afraid to talk to her doctor about it. She was afraid to talk to me about it because she felt, like a lot of us do, judged. So I think that the awareness and the education coming along with it is changing and will save a lot of lives. So you have a small community like ours that is embracing really what's being called the gold standard of the opioid epidemic now, the Suboxone, and really reaching out to people who need it and helping them in an extremely non-judgmental way.
Right. The Montevideo Police Department was one of the first police departments in the state to receive that drug. Talk about that a little bit.
A little different drug. I'll leave that to the doctors.
Okay.
But what they're carrying is naloxone, which is
a
drug that will reverse an overdose. The interesting thing about that is over 4,000 kits of naloxone were handed out in the state of Minnesota last year.
Oh, wow.
There was almost 700 overdoses. So you can imagine without the influx of naloxone how many more overdoses we would have had.
Right, exactly. Go ahead, Marcy, what were you going to say?
I agree. I think that having that naloxone, or we call it Narcan, is another name for it,
okay.
Having that readily available to people is key to saving lives. I know of a patient that came to me, and she said she had overdosed, and had she not been at a party where there was somebody that had Narcan, gave it to her, she'd be dead.
Oh, wow. Okay. Talk about this grant that you received. What is that exactly, this grant?
So the grant is from the Minnesota Department of Health, and in conjunction again with Dr. Kurt Devine and Dr. Heather Bell, who have been, they're two physicians in Little Falls that Shelley put us into contact with. They have been doing phenomenal work in the area of opioid use disorder. So they had obtained a large sum of grant money through the Minnesota Department of Health, and then they were able to fund additional money to, is it eight?
Yeah.
Smaller towns throughout the state of Minnesota. Mm-hmm. So we were eligible to apply for grant money, and then we were selected, Montevideo was selected as one of the grant sites based on our application that we submitted. And so we received grant funds that go towards combating the opioid epidemic.
So if someone out there is listening right now and you have a problem, you're addicted, what can they do? What would you encourage them to do?
I would encourage them to call. Like you said earlier, we're doing this in a very non-judgmental way. We're not here to throw anybody under the bus or put them in jail.
Yeah.
We're here to help people with their addiction, and we want to reach out and offer the assistance that we can give. Dr. Hannah and I are both prepared to prescribe this medication, Suboxone, and it's the start. It's the start mm-hmm. of the recovery process. You can contact our clinic. We have a nurse by the name of Kathy, and she's a registered nurse that will visit with you to start with, and then she'll get an appointment set up for Dr. Hannah or I, and then we will facilitate getting people in to see them as quickly as possible.
Okay. And where is this at, and do you have the number that they can call? Or?
So to get in contact with Kathy, it would be best simply to call her directly at 320-321-8273. That's her direct line. Or certainly they can call the main number and ask to speak to Kathy. But it does work best simply to call her direct line. And then she will basically get a lot of intake information and then review things directly with Marcy or with me.
Okay. Shelly, this is a life and death situation that we're in here, out here in western Minnesota, isn't it?
Yeah, certainly. There were 253 overdose deaths in greater Minnesota last year. So you think about the impact that has on families across the state. And, you know, losing a child is horrible. It's, you know, hard to explain to anybody, but if we can help anybody and prevent that from happening to anybody else, our loss stings a lot less. And that's what it's about. And the nice thing about this program too, it's very comprehensive. It's not just prescribing Suboxone, like Marcy said, it's just the start. We have a task force that consists of law enforcement, judges in the area, probation officers, the schools. This is a really comprehensive program that we've created around this that is really going to provide a lot of help for a lot of people.
That's right.
That task force meets on a monthly basis, and we hope to address the issues and questions and problems that we see in our community. And with all of those partners that Shelley just mentioned, we feel like we can hopefully be effective and beneficial.
Okay. Well, thank you so much, all three of you, for coming in. I appreciate it, and we'll keep talking about it, right?
Absolutely.
Thanks, Paul.
Thank you so much.
You bet. That's Dr. Patrick Hanna, Marcy Schmiesing, and Shelley Elkington. All right, thanks for coming in. I appreciate it.